You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, January the 12th, as we broadcast live tonight from AM 1600 WMQM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to finer AM-FM affiliate stations across the country on the Liberty News Radio Network and bringing in a global audience online. And we do have listeners around the world that support us, and we're so thankful for you. In this, our 15th year, there was something I failed to mention at the top of the show or even in the first hour. Just a few days ago, we unveiled our newly redesigned website. We have an incredible web team, a couple of ladies that just did a wonderful job, I think, revamping the website to begin to commemorate what will be now our 15th year on the air. It has increased functionality, a more aesthetically pleasing look, other assorted upgrades throughout, especially more functional for your mobile devices. So be sure to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and check it out. They even made a little collage of pictures throughout the years. I think it's a masterpiece. So I want to tip my hat to those ladies. Certainly, we're very blessed to work with so many talented people behind the scenes who are such an integral part of our success, but none more than you, ladies and gentlemen, in our listening audience. And, of course, over the course of 15 years, you get to know a lot of people. The SPLC doesn't call us the nexus of the movement for nothing. I mean, we have gotten to know just about everybody, and our reputation is sterling. And I wish I could say it took some work, but it comes natural to some people, I guess. But we have very good relationships with the people out there that we think are doing the best work on behalf of our people. And so we kind of keep a tight set with our guests. Although we did break in a few new guests or first time guests just last year, Paul Nalen and Ayla Stewart among them, Tom Kaczynski, Patrick Casey. Paul Nalen really became a fast friend. But typically we stick with the people we know because, you know, you only got 52 shows a year, and you're going to stick with the people who have earned it. But there's a young lady tonight we'd like to introduce to you who I've learned a little bit about recently, and of course, many of you in the audience have recommended her to this particular program. It's Lacey Lynn, a wife, a full-time homemaker, and homeschooling mother of two. She's an Eagle 4 member, a Christian conservative activist who runs a YouTube channel that addresses such topics as nationalism and the benefits of living a traditional life. And she's going to make her debut appearance on TPC right now. Lacey, how are you?
Well, hello. Thank you for having me on. How are you?
Well, you're very welcome. I'm doing just fine. So let's talk about you.
We're 15 years.
What took you so long to get here?
Well, I'm in Texas, and I just actually hadn't ran across your radio show, but I heard that you ran across a friend of mine, Ayla Stewart. So we're friends, and I'm glad to hear that she's been on the show, and I really appreciate you asking me to come on.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah, she did a great job. Of course, she's been around for a while, and we had her on, I think, last summer. But, yeah, so anybody that's out there that's doing good work on behalf of our people and the issues that we care about, we want to showcase here. And of course, that's what we're doing tonight. So let's let our audience know a little bit about you. Anytime we have a guest making a first-time appearance on this show, we like to give them the floor to just go all in on the bio, on what your work entails there on YouTube. So just take it away and introduce yourself.
Well, alrighty, thank you. Well, I am, like you said, a homeschooling mom, a full-time homemaker, mother of two little boys. And what got me started in YouTube, actually I have a YouTube channel just at Lacey Lynn, is I was a fan of the show Leave It to Beaver. And I got really tired of feminists just ragging on June Cleaver all of the time. So I wrote up a little piece, and I just read it online because I thought running a blog of my own would be too much work. So I just, I had actually submitted it to another blog, and then they they printed it for me. And then I also read it just on a YouTube channel. I wanted to hand off a link to some feminists that were bothering me about June Cleaver and her supposedly subservient ways. So I didn't realize what...
Now, is that picture, I believe that picture that we posted onto the Twitter today and for the promo of tonight's show, that's you with the picture of June Cleaver. Is that right?
Yes. That was an interview that Howard Billingsley had done with a TV guide. And I like what she said in the interview. She basically told everybody to dress up to your role as a mother and a housewife. So I thought that, you know, it would irritate some people if I were to wear pearls and a dress, you know, in the video. And I'm kind of a contrarian. So, and the pearls and the dress stayed. And I love pearls. And I love the dress. But I didn't know what would actually kind of form from that. I found about Phyllis Schlafly in her passing, actually. And then I had done a lot of research on Phyllis Schlafly in the Eagle Forum. And I joined the Eagle Forum and kind of became more of a traditionalist and separating myself from the modern day conservative movement and more in the traditionalist movement right now. And that's what I love about the Eagle Forum is that they're very traditional and they're not neocon. So I like that. And then I was red-pilled, as they say, on nationalism through different YouTube videos, and I just kind of soaked up all the knowledge that I could. And then I asked my husband, of course, that's going to trigger some people, the fact that I asked my husband, can I talk about this issue online? And then after some praying and some researching together, we decided that this was the route that we were going to go. And I really appreciate the work that you're doing. I looked into a lot of it, and I've got some Southern nationalists in my family, so I'm really excited to share your work with them as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, your stock just rose with me with that, let me tell you. I'm sure you do, being from Texas. But no, you hit on a lot of things. And I appreciate, of course, a young woman that is really setting an example for how young women can live, even in this day and age. And that was actually one of the questions that I had for you, is that how can housewives – we'll get into the church question in a minute. We've got the whole hour with you, and we're coming up on our first break. I know – commercial AM talk radio is a little different than the live streams that you're used to, so you'll have to pardon the interruptions. But we're going to talk about church and the pros and cons of the modern church. But I want to ask you this very quickly. How can housewives, I met my wife at church, how can housewives and homemakers, and she's also like you, a homeschool mother of two, how can housewives and homemakers avoid being black-pilled in this degenerate day and age? How can we stay positive? How can you stay positive raising children in this insane political climate without despair?
Well, I always say on my YouTube channel that we need to rebuild our communities. And a lot of what I talk about is about community building. And even if you go into a church that isn't exactly what you believe, if they have similar values, you can be a light, you know, to others. And in different moms groups, you can be a light to others as well. So I think that keeping yourself...
Well, you hear the music, you hear the music, Lacey, you know what that's about. I'll let you pick up where we left off when we come back, and then we've got much more to come. We've got the full hour with Lacey Lynn. Go to our Twitter at James Edwards TPC, and you can find her handle, and you can link to all of her stuff there. Be right back.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to TPC Tonight. James Edwards, and we're all getting to know Lacey Lynn this evening, and she's been making the rounds. Lacey, how long have you been active, and I mean public, with your YouTube channel?
A little over a year.
So a little over a year. So I would guess this is your first AM radio appearance.
Yes, it is.
Well, we'll try to make it enjoyable and memorable for you. But we were asking before the break tips for how housewives, because we this is a family friendly show, and so we've got men, we got women, we got families. Housewives and homemakers can avoid being black pilled in this insane political climate and degenerate day and age. You were answering that question right when we ran into the first break, so I'd like to ask you to continue.
Okay, I think getting involved in your communities is extremely important, and even if it's not the exact community that you're really comfortable with online, where you can just say anything, getting involved in homeschooling groups, mom support groups, church groups, just getting involved, basically, and getting yourself out there, and I made a video about this on my YouTube channel about how women can keep female friendships, because that's really hard this day and age, especially if you have strong political beliefs. So, and if you lean traditionally, but you kind of just have to jump into the icy waters and learn how to survive. And I've found that some friends will come and go, but those friends that you really meet that stick through you with a lot, are going to be really important to your survival through this very liberal, progressive world. I have some friends that I've met that I've just leaned on, and the community that I've leaned on, and church has gotten me through a lot in my life. So I really appreciate that.
Well, we're definitely going to touch on churches in the next segment. I mean, that's going to be a pretty lengthy thing, and that's something I certainly wanted to touch on and talk to you about during this hour together. Now, I outsourced some of the research for this particular interview to our trusty intern, Kim, in Missouri. Now, Kim is a homeschooling mother of five and relatively familiar with your work. And she's fantastic. I mean, that family is fantastic. That is the model family. We're fortunate enough, my wife and I and our children, to know them. And we actually, of course, met through my work on this program. But they are the best of the best. And she helped me prepare for this interview. And she says that you do some I'm relying on her for this to be factually accurate, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. But she says that you do some in real life IRL advocacy, questions on how we can make an in real life impact, and where you would recommend doing this.
Well, I am a member of the Eagle Forum, so I go to a lot of meetings, and at those meetings I hear speeches, different people speak on different things, and then that actually stems from the work that Phyllis Schlafly did back in the 70s and 80s. She's formed the Eagle Forum in 72, and it was a bunch of traditional housewives actually against feminism that wanted to defeat the biggest feminist bill of the time, the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, and they did. It worked. They just grabbed a lot of traditional housewives, and they just started lobbying their representatives, and they sent baked goods, and they sent flowers, and Phyllis Schlafly formed the Eagle Forum, and a lot of traditional housewives are responsible for the ERA being defeated. And that's a huge story to look at, because you can draw a lot of inspiration from that. And, you know, women have a stock in the future of their nation, because we want to see our children being raised in a good community, a good state, a good nation. So for us, it's very much of a nurturing kind of act when we do activism. It's like we want our children to grow up in a good, nurturing community. So I think the Eagle Forum is a great way to start. You can find other conservative organizations or nationalist organizations to start. Start by going to meetings. Just start by showing up. It's hard, you know, when you're my age and you walk into a room full of people who are really experienced and they've been doing this for decades. But just shake a hand and tell them hi and introduce yourself and say, you know, who you are and what you're about. And you'd be surprised that so many people are just really wanting younger people in the movement, and the nationalist movements, the traditionalist movements, the conservative movements. They're really wanting to fill those rooms and those chairs with younger people. So just show up, introduce yourself, and see which organization sticks with you.
Oh, that's good advice, and you're right. I mean, obviously, you would be an outlier to an organization like the Eagle Forum, which I respect, but I don't think most of the people would fit in our age demographic that are attending those meetings. And so it is important that we get involved in any way that we can. And those communities can be civic organizations such as that may meet in your city or town. But if nothing else, you can form communities online. Now, that is certainly not as good as an in real life type of meeting, but again, and I believe you've mentioned this group in some of your streams, so I don't think I'm putting out anything private here. But I understand that you have a pretty strict vetted Facebook group for woke moms, and that you're one of the moderators of this group, and that would be at least something that if there isn't such an organization in your locale, that you could at least be encouraged by other people online. What information can you give us about that?
Yes, it's the Traditionalist Homemakers. We're on Facebook. I admin that with a friend of mine. And we actually are a place where you can talk about dressmaking and how much you hate feminists at the same time. And so it's a really fun place. It's kind of like a really edgy tea party, I guess. And it is strictly vetted. We have, we actually keep our numbers pretty low. If the numbers get too high, people start to worry. So, it is very strictly vetted. But we like to, what started that was, I actually started it with a different friend of mine who's no longer an admin of that group on Facebook, but we started it as a branch off of another group that's generally against feminism, but we wanted a place for traditional women to kind of speak their mind, because the general anti-feminist movement I've seen is leaning more egalitarian than traditionalist. So that's kind of a little black pill. But I've been really grateful for the traditionalist movement online and happy to contribute to that. So I think that we have a lot of moms who really enjoy being able to finally get into a place where they can be a mom and be political as well. Because sometimes you don't get that in a mom's group that you might show up for a play date, you know.
Well, that's right. Even in the homeschool community and even in certainly within some of the church communities, you would think it would be like-minded people, but that's not always the case. So this is one that I guess you could say is woke or based or whatever the parlance of our time suggests that it is. But this is something that, I mean, again, you would prefer a community of families or ladies in this particular case that could meet together in person. But if that's not available to some listeners out there in Radio Land tuned in tonight, that there are groups like this that exist that even through online interaction can be encouraging and can have a positive impact on the lives of others through this virtual community, correct?
Right. And I've seen that so many people feel like they're alone.
And, well, man, she's getting trained to AM radio. She knows when the music starts that she stops. Very good. But, yeah, no, you're not alone. You're not alone. And even if you can't find a group of like-minded families or women in your community, they do exist online. And that's better than nothing. And we'll pick up there, and we're going to talk about church with Lacey Lynn when we return. Stay tuned, everybody.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999. Or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, I want to go to church with Lacey Lynn, and we're going to talk about the church and where the church stands today in the current year, as it were. But very quickly, Lacey, to go back to what we were talking about before the break, if you can't find an IRL community, what are the benefits of an online community?
Well, the benefits of an online community is that it's very convenient, obviously, and you have the benefit of anonymity. So you go online and you're probably not sure if it's safe to say what you're thinking. And you can be completely anonymous at first, and then you can gain trust in the online community, and you can start to trust the online community. And then you can kind of see that other people think like you, are like you, have the same values as you. And just like myself, I thought I was alone in the values and convictions that I held, but I quickly found online that I was not alone. It's just we're kind of spread out, unfortunately.
And that's okay. I mean, if that's the best you've got, it's better to have that than nothing at all, and to succumb
Definitely. To
the pressures of society and the different institutions. Now, let's talk church. A.W. Tozer once said, and I quote, "Religion today is not transforming people. Rather, it is being transformed by the people. It is not raising the moral level of society. It is descending to society's own level and congratulating itself that it has scored a victory because society is smilingly accepting its surrender," end quote. I think that would describe the modern church. Would you agree as a Christian?
Definitely.
You said that with a little bit of sorrow in your voice, I detected.
Well, it's just, I speaking of my friend, Ayla Stewart, I did a video with her on Facebook, I mean, YouTube, sorry, going from one platform to the other. We did a video on YouTube and talking about progressive Christianity, and just to see how I was wrong thinking that it's changed since I was a kid and how the church has changed since I was a kid, and then kind of talking to somebody who is more educated on church history and Christianity history, and I've learned a lot. So I really appreciate the people I learn from, and but just to see how far back it goes and where the cultural Marxism and all of the breakdown of everything just started to really take effect, and it is sad to see, but I do have hope. I come from a family who has many people in the ministry, so I have hope. That, you know, we go to a church right now that has, you know, if not the exact same values, very similar values. We just left a church that had very different values. And we spoke to the pastor and his wife, and we were not met with any grace whatsoever on some of our concerns. So we left that church, and right now we're somewhere where we fit a little bit better.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, and of course, you know, people say, what is the problem with the church? And I answer that as a Christian. You know, the political cesspool, this radio program, which takes on my identity as its founder and lead host, is that our show is unique in that it is uncompromisingly pro-white. I mean, that's what we're known for, of course. But it also takes on my personality, and that is as a Christian and as a proud Southerner, having descended from men, better men than me, who fought for the Confederate States of America. So we put all of that in to each show. We are pro-white, pro-Christian, pro-Southern. And we have a global audience. But even amongst our peers in the nationalist movement or the alt-right or whatever you want to call it, I mean, we overlap on race, but we don't necessarily overlap on religion and the Southern aspect. But that's what makes the show unique. And that's, I think, what we have a unique audience. And we've been here for 15 years. But The situation with the church is like any institution, it's been taking over. And the problem with the church is that it is made up of people from our society. I mean, and I say that you can't blame the church necessarily. You certainly can't blame Christianity for the fact that our people, our men especially, have been weakened. And this is what I said, Lacey, and I've said this before. Well, first of all, let me ask you, how familiar are you with my story with the Southern Baptist Convention?
Well, I have read some articles, and I did read up on you, and I applaud you for what you've been through. That I'm not disclosing my denomination for probably the reason that because you've been your denomination kind of came down on you, and I have family in the ministry, so that makes it even more difficult, but pretty familiar now, I guess. I've read a little bit.
Okay, so you're at least a little bit familiar with it, and actually the person who was behind that actually said that the Southern Baptist Convention passed its anti-alt-right resolution specifically in response to the things that I stand for and on this radio program. So, in effect, you have the largest Protestant denomination in the world basing their positions in response to to what I say, and that's coming from the person who put forth these resolutions. But in response to that, I would say that the Southern Baptist Convention and other evangelical churches indeed are dying because they alienate men who are the natural spiritual leaders of family. The church today, with its cucking on race, feminism, immigration, demands that the saving grace of Christ comes attached at the hip with a sick suicide cult of feminized leaders, like in the Southern Baptist Convention, specifically Russell Moore. So any sane person, any sane man who leads his family must reject the suicidal package offered by the modern church, meaning that the very best of people will be alienated from Christianity. So as a Christian and as a nationalist and as a race realist, I can only hope that there's some measure of extraordinary grace at work today for the unreasonable believer, the disproportionately non-religious conservative white who supports Trump, for instance, cannot but look at the church and gag. And so I've come to the conclusion that just as the political establishment must be destroyed by an outsider, so too must the Christian religious establishment. So I await the charismatic and forceful advocate of traditional Christianity who will drive the cucks from the pulpit. Am I out of line?
No. If anybody is going to speak out against cucked Christianity, I guess that, you know, I'm right there with you. I do it all the time. And in fact, I wonder sometimes, you know, I have to check my soul myself and get with God and see if, you know, am I being anti-Christian or am I being anti, cucked Christian, which I would consider not Christianity at all. So I think I lean on God a lot for what I say and what I do and how I read the text. And the text never changes, but the people do. And the interpretation is what people have spun on this political tangent. I mean, this trajectory that we're on. And if you just research history and the church history and the political movements that were going on at the time and how the church has changed, it really does fall in line. And you start to see everything unravel throughout history, and it kind of makes sense and all comes together in your mind. And you spoke about the man, the Christian man, and being a staunch anti-feminist. And I wouldn't consider myself just a non-feminist. I'm anti. I have very, very strong opinions on that. Going back to the first wave. So I'm very much anti-feminism in its entirety. So when I think of the man of the church, I think of the recent events that led us to leave our last church, and that was that specifically men were targeted among beneath this power to the woman, you know, feminist ministry, and it was really sad to see. And then when they brought out the multiculturalism virtue signaling, it was just, we had to have a talk with the pastor and his wife. So it was a sad thing to see, but I feel very confident in my journey through this, not only research, but also my spiritual journey with God and where he's leading me and our family, that, you know, we are not in the wrong. We are reading the text and taking it quite literally, and we are not the ones who are twisting the word. And I feel very confident in that. And if I can stand on that, then I can stand on anything. And anything that comes against me in the form of criticism or attacks online, I can know that I have stood on the word of God, and I've actually put a lot of research and a lot of time and prayer into this. So,
well, I can tell, and you've been doing this for a year out front and in public, which is very rare for anyone, but especially for a woman of your age, let's be honest. And that's what warranted you the interview opportunity tonight on TPC. But we got one more segment with you tonight, and I can tell you I don't think it could have gone any better thus far. We'll be right back with Lacey Lynn next. Liberty News Radio Network.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie, lie, lie. And then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, before we continue with Lacey Lynn, we have to ask her, Lacey, how have you enjoyed your first adventure into talk radio?
Well, it is very welcoming. Thank you. And the interruptions actually make me faster to talk. And, you know, I'm a Southerner, so I'm a little bit slow to talk. But I enjoy a challenge and being able to think on my feet.
Well, we do love porch talk here in the South. Well, I hope this is the first of many engagements to come. And it's gone by very quickly for me as well. This hour has, because we're talking about issues, of course, that are very near and dear to my heart. So, you know, we've talked about some of the detriments of the modern church, but of course there are many benefits as well. And the first thing people have to recognize is that apostasy is not the face of the faith of our fathers. And I can sympathize. We talked about this in the last segment. If I had inquired upon the faith as a man in my 20s or 30s, I would have looked at the church and walked away. So I can understand why some of our peers would want to blame Christianity for the malaise that we currently find ourselves in as a race. But, you know, certainly it should be reminded that if the faith was good enough for Charles Martel and John Sobieski and Robert E. Lee, it may even be good enough for you. And you can be a masculine and a muscular Christian. Christianity served our people well for centuries. And I don't think that institution should be abandoned any more than I think we should abandon the media, just because that institution, too, has been subverted. And of course, when it comes to meeting appropriate mates, our men need to go into these churches. You can go into any Southern Baptist church in any major city, any big Southern Baptist church, and the women there will rival any sorority, hands down. And, of course, I met my wife in church when she was 15. And my wife is, I still look at her now 18 years later, and it takes my breath, her beauty. I mean, she is truly a 10 and, inside and out. And these are the women you find in church, not just beautiful women, but traditionalist women who can bear a family and raise a family in the traditional model that Western civilization was founded upon. So we don't need to abandon the faith of our fathers just because it, too, has been corrupted by the corruption that our society has suffered. Again, the church is only an assembly of the men of the local, of the families of the people of the local community. Lacey, your thoughts?
Well, definitely. I actually met my husband in church. So we met at church. I actually get a lot of questions online about how to meet people, and I am honest, and I said I don't have dating experience before my husband. I went to a football game once, and then a dance once, and then I didn't really date before my husband. My first serious relationship.
Hold on right there. I will tell you this, and this is something I've said on the radio before, not to interrupt you, but my wife, who is she's exceedingly beautiful, has never even held the hand.
I've seen a picture of her.
I mean. Yeah, so you know. Never even held the hand of another man. So that's what you can get in church. I don't know if the world offers you that. And those women, discount some of the cuckoldry that you may get from the pulpits. And you do need to find the best church that you can in your local community. I mean, you need to try to lead your family away from the apostasy that may be coming from some of these pastors. But you do need to be marrying these women, and these women need to be led by strong men who don't choose. And this is something that we talked about, Lacey, or not that we, but that I've written about and that you recently tweeted about, that we have this tactic in society now that is to convince white people of the lie that they cannot at the same time love and advocate for their race and be a true Christian. And you actually, I wrote about that years ago. In an article for faithandheritage.com, you actually tweeted about it just yesterday, that they don't have to contradict one another. You don't have to choose. Why should you have to choose between your spiritual beliefs and your race? They're both part of your identity. You choose both. Elaborate on that.
Well, exactly. I actually was educated a lot by Faith and Heritage, and I appreciate their work for helping me out in this journey. And I remember receiving the biblical defense for ethno-nationalism from a friend. And yes. I went through that article with my husband, and we researched, we, you know, cross-applied scriptures here and there, and we prayed about it. And we always knew, you know, deep down that this was the direction that we were going, probably even before we realized it consciously. But this has been the direction that we've gone for quite a long time. And looking back, I can realize where our journey has led us here into nationalism. And God made us exactly who we are, and he made us who we are for a reason. And I actually have two videos, part one and part two, where I talk first about the cut to church, and then I talk about the case for Christian nationalism, and the Christian case for nationalism, and I use the knowledge that I've gained from Faith and Heritage to talk to people on YouTube about nationalism from a Christian perspective. And it says in the scriptures that God drew the nations and the boundaries, and I mean, you have Noah's sons, you know, sons going and populating the earth, told by God. You have the Tower of Babel spreading around different people, dispersing different people, making different cultures. So God made this. It wasn't accidental. He made us different, and he made nations, and he made different cultures. So I look at it as I'm a Texan, I'm a Southerner, I'm an American, I'm somebody of Irish descent, I am a Christian, I am a white person, I am a woman, I am a traditionalist, and what part of this am I supposed to subtract from myself? It doesn't make any sense. You can get some nationalist purity spiralers that will say, well, you have to go back and be Druid in order to be a nationalist. And I'm like, well, no, because I'm a Christian, because I know it's the one true religion. And so then I look at nationalism and from a Christian perspective, and I see that God put us exactly where he wanted us and made us exactly who he wanted us to be. And we're not all equal. We don't have all the same biology, and we don't have the same makeup, but we are who God made us, and we don't have to subtract from ourselves. We just have to embrace who God made us, and that is true nationalism from a Christian perspective.
Well, again, Lacey, I will tell you that the issues that we're talking about tonight really are the issues that founded this show 15 years ago, and it's been a wonderful ride, made even more wonderful by people like you who are out there in the trenches and doing the work, even as a woman and even as a submissive woman, which is, of course, the way God intended it to be. You set an example for other women to follow. And I feel as though, as we're coming up on the last couple of minutes, we've only begun to scratch the surface with you. I would love to have you back. I would love to talk more and collaborate more. But there are two questions that I certainly want to get in before we run out of time, and that is coming quickly. What made you initially start making YouTube videos? So it's one thing to have these beliefs and to know what's right and to know what's wrong, but to go out public and to put your face out there and to put your name out there and to go on YouTube, that is an extra step. What made you start doing that? What prompted you to take that next level step? And what are some of your goals as a mother and for your YouTube channel in 2019?
Well, thankfully, I was very ignorant when I started YouTube. And like I said, I actually just made a video about June Cleaver, and I was like, well, I just want to fangirl over June Cleaver and not have feminists bother me, so I'm just going to make a video. And I actually just made it for people, you know, I have in conversation with, and I'm like, well, here's a video link, so I don't have to explain the heels and pearls again. You know, here's a video link. And so I really wanted to just, you know, I was very ignorant. And then the video that followed that was just a kind of a response video to the response that I got. And then the more I spent time on YouTube, the more I was thinking, you know, I'd like to talk about this thing, and then I'd like to talk about this thing. And it kind of snowballed, really. And then there are some checkpoints that I had with my husband that I'm like, is this what we want to do? This is going in this direction, and it's getting kind of risky now, and, you know, there's more at stake. And then, you know, so I've checked in with him, and I've had his perspective on it, and he's okay, and I'm sure that's going to irritate people, but whatever. So there's been checkpoints that, you know, throughout this whole thing, but it really did snowball from just a very kind of ignorant standpoint to, I'm really glad that all of this knowledge has been opened up for me, and I was able to learn from so many different people online. So from going from here forward to 2019, my goals as a mother are to kind of take a step back, and I'm not stopping YouTube. I'm not stopping any of the activism, but like I said, it just kind of snowballed over this last year. So it's been really kind of hard to get a grasp on. And I'd like to maybe just bring more thought and more more well-rounded videos to my YouTube channel and really look into some conversations deeper, and then just allow myself to get immersed into some knowledge, read some more books, and I'm just really excited for that. And so I'll be coming out with hopefully some cooking videos. I am a huge cook. I love to cook. So I would like to talk about, you know, kind of my Facebook group where it takes homemaking and politics in one. That's kind of where my channel is going. And I am just excited to really be a mother and be a mother who's also interested in politics and be present in both.
Well, Lacey, I don't think we could have enjoyed this more. I look forward to talking to you again soon. We would ask Lacey for her contact information, but I'll tell you the easiest way to get it. Go to our Twitter, at James Edwards TPC. We have her featured front and center on tonight's promo. Click over to her YouTube handle, or rather her Twitter handle, and you can find her Instagram and Facebook and all that good stuff. Lacey, good night. Talk to you again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.